On the show today, we have Cornerstone Advisor's very own Ron Shevlin talking about Cornerstone's annual What's Going On in Banking report. And in this part, we're doing a two-parter because there was so much information in this conversation with Ron. But in part one, Ron talks about, kind of gives us a lay of the land of the report, who they talked to, how they got this information in their study. And then he goes on to talk about top concerns or competitive threats to credit unions in the coming decade. And then also he shares with us financial institutions' interest in fintech. Really good stuff here, obviously, from Ron. So check it out and stay tuned for part two. And before we get on with the interview, here's a quick word from our sponsor.
What are some of the most incredible parts of owning a business?
The most incredible part is the journey of it all. The people you get to meet, the rooms you get to be in. That's hands down the best part is you don't know where it's going to take you, but it's the best ride ever. Get through all the downs because the ups are way better.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.
Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Mr. Ron Shevlin from Cornerstone Advisors. Ron, how you doing today?
Doing great, Mike. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Anytime, sir. Hey, before we get going, talking about what's going on in banking 2021 report, I just have to commend you guys for a great webinar you guys held last week with you and Steve Williams and then Jill Castilla and Brett Martinez from Redwood. You guys, guys hit it out of the park on that one.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks.
That was good stuff there. Good stuff indeed. Hey, and kind of on a similar note, we're going to be talking about this report you guys did. And before we get into the details, what was the theme that kind of percolated to the top here that you guys kind of discovered after getting the results back from this report?
Yeah, so if you don't mind, Mike, I should just take 30 seconds to let everybody know what we're talking about because they may not know that. But for the past, I think it's been a good 6 or 7 years now, Cornerstone, which can't be that long. I've only been at Cornerstone 5.5 years, so I'm not sure how I could have done it for longer than actually that. But since I've joined Cornerstone, each year we've been publishing a report that we call What's Going On in Banking. Mm-hmm. It's based on a survey of the senior executives at mid-sized banks and credit unions, of which pretty much all credit unions are, they're no mega credit unions in this space. And the focus of the report is very broad. We tend to look at two broad things. One, on the business side, what's the mood? What's the temperature of executives? What's their optimism, pessimism going into the following year? We run this survey every year in December of the particular year, asking about the upcoming year. Mm-hmm. We look at business priorities. Where's the focus going to be? What are the challenges and concerns for the year? And then we focus a little bit on the technology side. Where is the technology dollars going? In the past couple of years, that's really has shifted. We've been focusing a lot on things like fintech partnerships and things like that. And then this year, we started getting into a new area as well, really focusing on digital transformation.
Oh, yeah.
And Mike, each year we ask how optimistic or pessimistic are you about the upcoming year relative to the year that is just ending? And I have to tell you that every year it is almost a 50-50 split between the optimists and the pessimists.
Really?
Wow. And it's not, it's those who think things are going to get worse versus people who think it's going to get better. And I'm probably surprising to a lot of people who read the snarky stuff that I write and publish. I'm an optimist. And I generally think that in the past few years, things have been looking up. Going into 2020, when I published the report in January, mm-hmm. I was so upbeat about the year, Mike. Boy, did I blow that one. And going into 2019, I went against my general sense that things were good. And I said, I'm going to call it pessimistic for 2019.
Okay.
And I was wrong again. So I don't have a very good track record going in. And this year, it's again, I would say, guarded optimism that things will get better. But what it really comes down to, Mike, is this is not, what we experienced in 2020 and what's happening right now is not based on underlying economic fundamentals. It's based on a very odd external event. And the geographic impact is very disparate. And I think that's part of, you know, why there's this general disagreement about where things will go, because, you know, there are areas in the country that either are opening back up to a large extent or have never really shut down. I'm always amazed when I see pictures from like down in Atlanta, Georgia, and everybody's hanging out and partying. And I got to tell you, here in the Northeast, it's shut down, man. We are not getting together and doing things like that.
That's true.
Except yesterday, I noticed walking around the neighborhood, I had, you know, how they tell people don't have big indoor gatherings. Well, one of my neighbors was having a big party, but it was all out on the frozen ice of the pond. Okay. So that was, I think, pretty good that they had a nice party going on out, and it was all outside. So I thought that was okay. So, you know, we're seeing this guarded optimism, but, you know, from a credit union perspective, there are a lot of concerns about the interest rate environment, concerns about the loan demand in particular. And a lot of concern, and I think changing concern. What I found very encouraging, actually, is more interest and concern about non-interest income. So I think that's finally hitting a lot of credit unions' radars that, look, man, we got to really rethink some of the revenue streams we've got in this business to expand it beyond just traditional checking account fees and things, and, you know, certainly overdraft and then interest income.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just interviewed the folks from Alliant Credit Union last week about their RV sale, well, I won't say sale, but their loans. They're just off the charts. I mean, I commended them on their creativity going this, because at least out here in Southern California, everywhere you look, everyone has an RV or a trailer camper thing like now. So that seems to be all the rage right now, because it's practically the only thing that you can do if you want to go on a vacation. So so they're doing really, really well. And so, yeah, again, the creativity. So, and the other thing that I saw with lending is that the automotive lending is obviously has come back, maybe not all the way back, obviously, but especially in Q4 of last year, it came back. So what's your take on that? Even the housing market has been fairly healthy. I mean, probably thanks to the interest rates, obviously, but what's your view on that? And did you guys approach that in the report as well?
Yeah, we did approach it in the report. I won't really talk to it from an economic perspective, because I'm truly not an economist per se, so to really judge the demand. But in terms of where credit union executives' heads are at, you know, both auto loans and mortgages and home lending in general increased in terms of the extent to which it will be a priority among credit unions in 2021. So I think there's, you know, strong demand, strong belief in a lot of credit unions that this will be a good year for those areas.
It sounds like it. Certainly, I mean, at least they have the momentum going forward for sure. In the webinar that you guys had last week with Jill Castilla and Brett Martinez, you talked about some top concerns or competitive threats to the credit union community and community banks as well in the coming decade. Can you mention those real quick that folks need to be looking out for? Because you had a whole chart and all that type of stuff with it as well. So it was really, really interesting, I thought.
Yeah, in the past 2 years, Mike, we've included a question that is asked basically, to what extent do you see the following providers or firms or types of firms as significant or as competitive threats to the industry throughout the 2020s? So not just a year view, but, you know, over the course of the next few years and over the course of the decade. And we've asked about providers like the big tech firms, Apple, Google, Amazon, big fintech companies like a Credit Karma or a PayPal, the neobank, challenger banks, Chime, Aspiration, Moovin, Varo. We've asked them, to what extent do you see other credit unions or other community banks and the mega banks as significant threats? And there were a couple of things that kind of stood out comparing this year to last year. When we did the survey last year, 60% of both bank and credit union respondents said that they saw the big tech companies, Amazon, Google, Facebook, and so forth, as significant threats. And just 14% said that they saw the challenger banks as significant threats. Well, this year, bit of a change.
Yeah.
That 60% dropped to about just under 50% in terms of the big tech as a threat.
Mm-hmm.
And the percentage that saw the neobank, challenger banks as significant threats doubled from 14 to 28%.
Yeah.
And I think that was spot on to a certain extent, Mike, in two areas. Number one, I think a lot of executives are beginning to realize that some of the big tech companies are as much of an opportunity from a partnership perspective as they are a threat. I have said this before for a number of years now. I still see Amazon more as a distribution channel opportunity for financial institutions than a threat. And I've been writing that I see Google as striving to be the next great fintech vendor. When they launched that checking account, or announced, they didn't launch, they announced the checking account back in November 2019. You know, the mainstream media was all over that as, hey, Google's getting into checking account and banks are all, and credit unions are all going to be out of business. And actually, they didn't say credit unions be out of business because the mainstream media doesn't understand the difference and never mentions credit unions anyway. So what happened in 2020? Well, Google came out and basically said, no, we're partnering with you guys for this.
Right.
And you've got credit unions like CEFQ and Stanford Federal Credit Union, who signed up. That makes a lot of sense, actually, when you think about how many Google employees must be in their backyard. But CEFQ, if I'm not mistaken, is like Albany, New York based. Yeah. Now, there might be a big Google employee population up there for all I know. Yeah. But I don't think that's why they're getting into it. And you see a lot of other, mid-sized financial institutions doing it. You've also got Google, by the way, out there pitching its cloud services. They also launched some AI-based lending tools to help with PPP processing. So, they're making a big pitch to be a vendor as much as they are a competitor in the space. On the other hand, I think the credit unions executives were really picking up on the growth of the challenger banks. In fact, just today, I published an article on my blog, FinTech Snark Tank on Forbes, that Chime has now crossed the 12 million customer mark. And, the thing that I think a lot of people have to focus on is not the overall number, but the realization that a growing number of consumers, Mike, have more than one checking account these days. In fact, the exact number is 36%, and about 8% have three or more checking accounts.
Oh, great.
So, the old days, there were a bunch of people who had multiple checking accounts. If you opened up a mortgage and they wanted to offer you a better rate, they say, hey, take our checking account. We'll give you a little bit better rate.
Yeah,
so, of course, you took it. You kept $25 in the account, and then when your time was up, you cashed it out. That's not what's happening today. People are opening accounts and using them. In fact, there's a fair number of people who consider their secondary bank's debit card to be their primary payment mechanism.
Hmm.
And so of Chime's 12 million customers, 8 million of them consider Chime to be their primary bank. Mike, if you look just strictly at, the top banks in terms of number of consumers that consider that institution their primary bank or primary institution, Chime is now the fifth largest bank in the U.S.
Good.
I mean, obviously not from a deposit assets or revenue or, God forbid, profits perspective, but in terms of number of consumers that consider it their primary institution, number five, ahead of PNC, ahead of U.S. Bank. It's quite amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, not only do the credit union executives see that, but let's call out the 800-pound gorilla on the table. 2020 was not a great year for credit union as a whole. And of course, that's tough because I'm sure there are plenty of credit unions that really came through well and had good years. Okay. But as a whole, as an industry, the growth in membership slowed significantly. From prior years, I know CUNA Mutual has made a forecast where they're not seeing the huge rebound in that either.
Yeah.
And the community banks came back to a certain extent in 2020 with the shift to local, and I think they benefited from some of the PPP stuff that went on with the small businesses. So, it's they're seeing the I think they're beginning to really see the impact of the challenger bank growth. Not just Chime, many others experienced 50% increases in total customer base throughout 2020. And I think the credit unions are beginning to feel the heat from them.
Well, it was that whole transformation, let's talk about digital transformation, because you brought it up at the top of the show here.